In a world where the words Muslim or Islam are often wrongly connected to terrorists, I think we forget that the majority of Muslims are simply people like us. This school year, I had the delightful privilege to tutor a fourth-grade student from Saudi Arabia, whom I discovered was very much like any other child that I tutor. Ahmad could not speak or understand a single word of English when I began working with him. He was a beautiful little boy with a shock of dark curls and sparkly brown eyes. At the beginning of our relationship, he would not look at me or acknowledge me in any way. Often he would mumble in Arabic, and I suspected that he was insulting me, but since I did not speak his language, I could not really know what he was saying. One day I called my son, whose job gives him access to many languages, and asked him for a simple Arabic greeting. "Just say Assalamu alaikum," my son told me. So the next day when I arrived in the school where I volunteer, I greeted Ahmad with my new vocabulary. Giving me eye contact for the very first time and with a broad smile, Ahmad said, "That my halloo, that my halloo," and he pointed at his chest as he said it. Oh, the joy of being able to say something in the language of a small child who is in a classroom where he has no idea of what is happening or what is being communicated. The look on his face when I repeated my simple greeting was worth all the other times that he had been so disrespectful to me. That was my first breakthrough. A few weeks later, when the class began, improper fractions and mixed numbers, Ahmad simply put his head down and tuned out. Determined that he could get the process and understand those numbers, I drew pictures, demonstrated the method in as many ways as I could think of, and was really relieved when he suddenly got it. When I gave him 10 problems, and he solved them all correctly, I put both of my thumbs into the air and cheered. It was then that Ahmad touched my hand, actually touched me, a woman, and said, "You make hard easy." I turned my head so he couldn't see the tears in my eyes and made a vow to keep on working with him so that he could make some progress in the class. As the year wore on, Ahmad and I had a number of breakthroughs. When he couldn't understand a science lesson about porcupines, I typed a quick book for him on the computer, and it was in simple words, and drafted my son to help me put in images that would make the story understandable. When I took the book into Ahmad, he not only could read it, but he asked if he could take it home by saying, "Home, read, Father." When I agreed, he grabbed his backpack and placed the book in it carefully. Every day thereafter, for the next 3 weeks, he would tell me, "I read Porcupine, Father." I'm willing to wager that his dad got mightily sick of that book. Ahmad has gone back to Saudi Arabia. On the last day of school, he asked me if I would come visit him. When I protested that I would not be able to drive in Saudi Arabia because it is against the law for women to drive there, Ahmad shook his head and said, "Not you." Then, touching my very short haircut, he said, "They think you man." I will surely miss him, but I think that one day when he is older, he may remember that a woman helped him while he was in the United States, and then perhaps he will influence others in his nation to give Saudi women greater equality. At the very least, I hope he will remember that an educated woman can make life a little easier for others.